Johnny, have you noticed that some of the newspaper idiots are getting a little nasty with their typewriters?
Don't pay any attention. He waved a careless hand. It's a business with them, just like our business. You start getting sensitive and you just confuse everybody. The boys who were assigned to cover me may call themselves the Goon Squad, but I don't notice that any of them have ever asked to be transferred. It's a game with them. They spend their time trying to catch me in lies, then printing that I said a lie. They like me. They try to knife me, but they like me. I try to knife them, but we drink together and we're friends. What the hell, hon? All we're all trying to do is to get a day's work done. Take it from me. Never get sensitive.
Johnny, baby?
Yes, hon?
Do me a favor and tomorrow at the lunch break, please make it a point to go into that Senate barbershop for a shave. You can stand 2 shaves a day. I swear to God, sometimes I think you can grow a beard in 20 minutes. You look like a badger in a Disney cartoon on that TV screen.
Don't worry about it, hon. I have my own ways, and I look my own way. But I'm very goddamn American, and they all know it out there.
Just the same, hon. Will you promise to get a shave tomorrow at the lunch break?
Certainly. Why not? Give me another drink. I got a big day coming up tomorrow.
John Yerkes Iselin was re-elected to his second 6-year term on November 4, 1958, by the biggest plurality in the history of elections in his state. 236 fistfights went unreported the following evening in the pubs, cafes, bodegas, cantinas, trattorias, and sundry brasseries of Western Europe between the glum American residents and the outraged, consternated natives of the larger cities. Early one Monday morning in his office at the Daily Press, for he had taken to arriving at work at 7:30 rather than at 10 o'clock, now that he was the department head, just as had Mr. Gaines before him, Raymond looked up and saw, with no little irritation at the interruption, the figure of Chun Jin standing in the doorway. Raymond did not remember ever having seen him before. The man was slight and dark, with alert, liquid eyes and a most intelligent expression. He stared with wistful hopefulness, mixed with ascending regard. But these subtleties did not transport Raymond to remembering the man.
"Yes," he drawled in his calculatedly horrid way. "I am Chun Jin, Mr. Shaw, sir. I was interpreter attached to Charlie Company, 52nd Regiment."
Raymond pointed his outstretched finger right at Chun Jin's nose.
"You were interpreter for the patrol," he said.
"Yes, sir, Mr. Shaw."
Other men might have allowed their camaraderie to foam over in the warming glow of the good old days, but Raymond said, "What do you want?" Chun Jin blinked.
"I mean to say, what are you doing here?" Raymond said, not backing away from his bluntness, but attempting to cope with this apparent stupidity through clearer syntax. "Your father did not say to you?"
"My father?"
"Senator Iselin, I write to—"
"Senator Iselin is not my father. Repeat, he is not my father. If you learn nothing else on your visit to this country, memorize that fact." "I write to Senator Iselin. I tell him how I interpret your outfit. I tell him I want to come to America. He get me visa. Now I need job."
"A job?"
"Yes, sir, Mr. Shaw."
"My dear fellow, we don't use interpreters here. We all speak the same language."
"I am tailor and mender. I am cook. I am driver of car. I am cleaner and scrubber. I fix anything. I take message. I sleep at house of my cousin and not eat much food. I ask for job with you because you are a great man who saved my life. I need for pay only $10 a week.
$10? For all that?
"Yes, sir, Mr. Shaw."
"Well, look here, Chun Jin. I couldn't pay you only $10 a week.
"Yes, sir, only $10 a week.
I can use a valet. I would like having a cook, I think. A good cook, I mean. And I dislike washing dishes. I had been thinking about getting a car, but the parking thing sort of has me stopped. I go to Washington 2 weeks a week, and there's no reason why I shouldn't have the money the airlines are getting from this newspaper for those trips. And I'd rather not fly that crowded corridor anyway. I would prefer it if you didn't sleep in, as a matter of fact, but I'm sorry, $10 a week just isn't enough money."
Raymond said that flatly, as though it were he who had applied for the job and was turning it down for good and sufficient reasons.
"I work for $15, sir."
How can you live on $15 a week in New York?
I live with the cousins, sir.
How much do the cousins earn?
I do not know, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, Chun-Jin, but it is out of the question.
Raymond, who had still not greeted his old wartime buddy, turned away to return to his work. From his expression, he had dismissed the conversation, and he was anxious to return to the bureau reports and to some very helpful information his mother had managed to send along to him.
Is not good for you to pay less, Mr. Shaw?
Raymond turned slowly, forcing his attention back to the Korean and realizing impatiently that he had not made it clear that the meeting was over.
Perhaps I should have clarified my position in the matter as follows, Raymond said frostily. It strikes me that there is something basically dishonest about an arrangement by which a man insists upon working for less money than he can possibly live on.
You think I steal, Mr. Shaw?
Raymond flushed.
I had not considered any specific category of such theoretical dishonesty.
I live on $2 a week in Mokpo. I think $10 many times better.
How long have you been here?
Chun-Jin looked at his watch.
2 hours.
I mean, in New York.
2 hours.
All right. I will instruct the bank to pay you a salary of $25 a week.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw, sir.
I will supply the uniforms.
Yes, sir.
Raymond leaned over the desk and wrote the bank's address on a slip of paper, adding Mr. Rothenberg's name.
Go to this address, my bank. Ask for this man. I'll call him. He'll give you the key to my place and some instructions for stocking food. He'll tell you where to buy it. We don't use money. Please have dinner ready to serve at 7:15 next Monday. I'll be in Washington for the weekend, where I may be reached at the Willard Hotel. I am thinking in terms of roast veal, a boned rump of veal with green beans. No potato. Please, Chun-Jin, never serve me a potato.
No, sir, Mr. Shaw.
Some canned, not fresh, spinach. Pan gravy. I think some stewed fruit. And 2 cups of hot black coffee.
Yes, sir, Mr. Shaw. Just like in United States Army.
Jesus, I hope not, Raymond said.